we held the Good Friday and Easter Sunday service. We had time to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. This is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. For the past 2,000 years, the gospel has been proclaimed in many countries, and many people came to believe in God, and their lives were totally transformed. Still, the gospel is affecting our lives today. And thus, we need to understand what the gospel is and how it has changed our lives. The gospel simply means good news. We know what this word means. There are a variety of good news in our world, such as I earned a lot of money, I got a nice job, I am promoted, and I bought a big house. These all sound like good news to us. However, the original meaning of the gospel is totally different from those. In this sermon, we are studying the written gospel almost 2,000 years after it was written. There are many translations of the Greek into many different languages. However, for our better understanding, we need to look at the original language in the New Testament, Greek. The word gospel is euangelion. Eu means good, angelion means news or messenger. The word gospel simply means good news. In the time of Jesus, the gospel was used in two ways. Firstly, for instance, a messenger will come before the king and announces his appearance. Secondly, after a nation wins in a battle or in a war, then a messenger announces the victory. Using these examples, we understand better the original meaning of the gospel in the Bible. First, it announces the appearance of the king. He is Jesus, the true king in the earthly kingdom as well as the heavenly kingdom. Second, the gospel announces the victory over Satan, who ruled the earth before Jesus came. Here the battle or war was within the spiritual world. Jesus was sent into this earthly kingdom ruled by Satan and won in the battle. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." This means that Jesus defeated Satan, who ruled the earthly kingdom, which was full of sins and darkness. The work of Jesus made it possible for people to survive in this world through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. This is the gospel, the good news. After Jesus was resurrected, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. In the book of John 20, verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Jesus also appeared to his disciples. John 20, verse 19 says, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them." Jesus showed himself to his disciples and continued the ministry of God on this earth. The gospel, which is the death and resurrection of Jesus 2,000 years ago. The good news has continued until today. Now I will talk to you about what the gospel has brought us. First, the gospel has brought us shalom, peace. In John 20 verse 19, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." This is a greeting in Hebrew. When the Jewish people meet, they say shalom, which means peace be with you. The Jewish people regarded shalom, peace, as the most important greeting at the time of Jesus. Still, today, that is still so. For better understanding, we need to understand the original meaning of peace. It originally comes from the Hebrew word shalom, eilene in Greek, which means wholeness, completeness, perfection. Further, it refers to the absence of war politically and the absence of quarrel socially. Also, it ranges to physically good and healthy condition. Originally, shalom refers to the state when first man Adam and woman Eve stayed with God. They were in a perfect state, which had no war, no quarrel, no sickness. However, they were expelled from the garden because of their sins against God. They were separated from the shalom of God, and their descendants have made their own efforts to come back to God over the years. Finally, people realized that they could not come back to God by themselves, but it was possible with the help of God. After the Garden of Eden, God's shalom and salvation started. He chose Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God also chose the descendants of Israel as a godly nation. God blessed them, and the peace of God existed through the dominion of God. Finally, God sent Jesus, the Messiah, to save his people from their sins. Would you go back to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1? Yeah, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Would you go back there? Yeah. Okay, sorry about that. The book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." In this verse, justify means make someone righteous. The passage in Romans means that through Jesus Christ, through our Lord, our sins are forgiven. We are justified. We have become righteous, and we are saved. Many people know Leo Tolstoy, a famous Russian writer, and his book, War and Peace. He was born and brought up as a nobleman and was proud of being rich. He wrote many books. However, he was not satisfied with this and realized that he couldn't find real happiness in his life. even though he was renowned through his many books. His frustration continued. One day, he encountered a farmer passing by a road in the country. In the eyes of Tolstoy, the farmer looked very peaceful. Tolstoy asked the man how he could be so peaceful. The farmer said, "Once I learned to depend upon God, I felt that I was full of peace at all times." After this happened, Tolstoy decided to accept Jesus as his Savior and Lord. Later, he met God personally, and the peace of God changed his life, and there's no more distress and sadness upon him. Once we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, God's peace will come into our hearts, and we will be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let us see what the gospel, the good news, has brought about. Second, the gospel brought us the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 20, verse 22, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is another person of God in the Trinity of God. Before Jesus left the earthly kingdom, he made a promise that he would send the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said in John 14, verse 26, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Holy Spirit is also called Counselor. This comes from the Greek word parakletos, which means helper, counselor, advocate, and intercessor. First, the Holy Spirit is called intercessor. He intercedes between God and his people like a bridge. The Holy Spirit helps us to come to God while we are here on this earth. The Holy Spirit is also called advocate or attorney. He protects us and defends us to fight against Satan and demons. When we are hardened or troubled, we ask God. Then God will send the Holy Spirit, who helps us and protects us. When many believers of God prayed at the Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they started preaching the word of God in many countries. Many people accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. They were saved, they were healed, and they were transformed. Still today, the Holy Spirit is with us, and he is guiding us to come to the presence of God. D.L. Moody, one of the great evangelists in America, worked as a shoemaker and became a believer of Christ through a colleague. Later, his heart was burning like a fire, and he was eager to teach as a Sunday school teacher at a church. One day, he asked if he could teach, but he was turned down because he was not educated. He was troubled, and he went up to a hill to pray. He prayed. He prayed so fervently, holding onto a tree, that the root of the tree was pulled out. His prayer continued for the whole day. Also, he felt that his heart was getting harder and harder with the power of the Holy Spirit. Finally, he decided to start a Sunday school. It had grown to 6,000 and 7,000 people within a year. It had increased to 20,000 people within 3 years. One day, he went to Philadelphia for 9 months to preach the gospel. And 100,000 people came to God. Some said that he preached to 120 million people, and 10 million people came to God in his life. This was made possible through the help of the Holy Spirit. After the resurrection of Jesus, the Holy Spirit gave his believers two lessons. First, the Holy Spirit helped them to remember that our sins are forgiven. The book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21 says, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven because Jesus forgave our sins through his death. And here, John chapter 20, verse 23 says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Once we believe in Jesus, our sins are forgiven. As Jesus forgave our sins, so believers are to forgive these sins of others. The word forgive originally comes from the Greek word arete. Arete means send away or let go. Once we sin against God or do not forgive the sins of others, sin comes into our body and makes trouble for us. However, if we believe in God and forgive others their sins, then the stress of sins will be sent away from us. Forgiving sins of others are acts for them as well as for ourselves. I learned this after hearing a sermon in which believers of God were told to forgive others no matter what happened, so that the peace of God would come upon them. After this, I did my best to forgive those who had hurt me in my life. It was not easy at the beginning, but I tried, I felt, and I was encouraged. Later, I realized that the peace of God had come upon me and helped me to be full of the Holy Spirit. The second lesson, the Holy Spirit gives us to have true faith in the gospel, the good news. We are believers of Christ. And the question is, what does faith mean? What is faith? I remembered teaching students at a Bible college here in Oakland about 6 years ago. I taught about the true meaning of faith using a story. I asked how we could believe our physical parents. Even though many didn't see themselves being taken out of their mother's womb, they believed this had happened, and they were the child of their parents. And I believe that this faith is the true meaning of belief. Nowadays, we can get evidence of our birth or parents' through the DNA test. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see." The true faith doesn't require us to show the evidence. Without the evidence, we are told to believe that something is real. Jesus showed himself to Thomas, who said in John chapter 20, verse 25, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." This means that Thomas would only believe after he touched the body of Jesus and have the evidence. How did Jesus respond? Jesus said in verse 27, "Put your finger here, see my hand, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." This means that you are free to touch me. However, this is not true faith. Jesus continued to say in verse 29, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This tells us what true faith is. Remember, the disciples of Christ, some saw Jesus, while others didn't touch the body of Jesus. And Jesus told them that true faith was to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior without seeing and touching his body. That is true faith. That is true faith. In some ways, our beliefs are surer than the beliefs of disciples of Jesus, who saw him with their eyes and touched his body. Because we do believe Jesus as our Lord and Savior without seeing or touching his body. Now I want to conclude my sermon. The gospel, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, has brought us shalom, the peace of God, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has helped us to come to God and to live and work for God. That is the grace of God. That is the grace of God. May God be with you, and may God bless you and your family members. Let us pray.